In today's Mishnah, so in the fourth and fifth Mishnah, in the third Perek Masechet Eidot, the Mishnah begins, Kol ha-chotzalot tmeot tmemet tevi Rebbi Dosa v'chachamim rim midras. See, referring to woven reed mats. However, these mats have a safa, have a edging to it. And according to Rebbi Dosa, he understands that they are susceptible to tumat met, but not tumat midras. So just to explain, anything that's defined as a kli, as a vessel, is susceptible to tumah, meaning it can become tameh by different forms of tumah, except for tumat midras. For something to be susceptible to tumat midras, it has to be something that someone would lie or sit on. Just a reminder, tumat midras is another type of tumah transfer, that if a zav, which we've mentioned a few times in the Masechta, say, sits on it, he would make, other than just simply transferring tumah as if he touched it, he'd make it another tumah as well, as we'll learn about in the later Masechtas. So what Rebbe Dos is saying is that when it comes to these mats, they're only accepted to a met that finds a kli, because we'll learn about the scope of the debate in a minute, but it's not really set aside for, say, sitting or lying on. However, Chachamim Omerim say no, since people could sit or lie on these mats, then they are accepted to this Tumat Midrash as well. So the Gemara explains that the debate isn't regarding the mats of different regions that are either, so I'll go explicit here, there it says in Usha, that they are tameh midras because those type of mats they would use as beds, everyone would lie on them. And they wouldn't argue about those in Tveria because they were very hard and uncomfortable to sit on, they were generally only used as a receptacle, as kalim. The debates regarding other types of mats, where in general these type of mats that have this edging to it, they wouldn't normally sit or lie on it, so therefore, according to Rebbe Dosa, therefore they're defined as a kli, they're defined as a normal utensil. However, according to Chachamim, since people sometimes would sit or lie on it, therefore he treats them like these mats of Usha, and therefore they're susceptible to Tumat Midras as well. Next, Kol ha-kliot. Kliot refers to nets made of ropes. According to this firstly repeating Rebbe Dosa, he says they are generally all tahor, because the gap between the strings is so wide, they are not defined as a beged, not susceptible to Tumat like any other clothing, except chutz mishel galgilon, which is a type of a belt, that there was also made of netting, and they says, despite the fact that it was netted, that has a shem beged, it's defined as a clothing, and therefore susceptible to tumah. That's pin divrei Rebbe Dosa. However, Chachamim Rim say no. Chachamim says, kulam tmeot. Any netting has the status of a beged clothing, except chutz mishel tzamarim. Aside from these nets that the people used to sell wool, because in those situations, he understands that they're really only considered ropes. It doesn't really have even a shem kli on it, not even a receptacle, therefore not susceptible to tumah. Arti here cites another explanation. He is because the netting of those types of nets, of those people, of the tzamarim people of Selwold, the holes were so wide that in that situation, even Chachamim agree with Rebbe Dosa, they're not susceptible to tumah. Let's learn Mishnah Hei, Hakela. This refers to a sling. So just to appreciate the way slings work, there was a piece of leather, like a long leather strap. One end that had a hole in it that you put around your finger, and halfway up the strap there was you'd sort of seat the rock, and you'd hold the other end of the strap in your hand. You'd swing the sling around at a very fast rate and let go of one end of the strap, and that would it would release the rock that was into the sling, and because of the way you were spinning it, it would send the rock in a very high speed and towards one's target, and people were very highly skilled, and it was even then used as part of war. So here we're referring to the sling itself. Shabit kibug shala arug, that if the place halfway up, as we said, that held the stone was woven, that is then tmeah. This whole sling is considered a kli, and then if it comes in contact with tumah, it itself can become tameh. However, the shell or if the bait kibul in the middle was made of leather as well, then Rebbe Dosa ben Harkonos says it's tahor. Why? Because generally pieces of leather are only susceptible to tumah, they're only considered useful or have a kli if they're 5x5 tfachim. And simply using in this sling-like fashion, according to Rebbe Dosa, the fact of folding over and swinging it, doesn't make the whole thing defined as a kli. However, Chachamim say metamim. According to Chachamim, even though it's leather, the fact that it's fabricated in this fashion and used in this way, that makes the kela, this sling, on its own, gives it a status of a kli, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. Mishnah continues, Nifsak beit etzba shela. If the end that had the hole that would be put around the finger broke, in that situation now we say it's tahor. It's as if this whole kli, this utensil, this the sling is now broken, and therefore it's no longer susceptible to tumah because you're going to be able to use it anymore. How about beit papakia shela, the other end? If the other end that was held in one's hand during the swinging broke, in that situation it's tmeah, it would still be tameh. Because as long as that the beit etzba is still, I mean the other end that's looped around the finger is still there, it's not considered completely broken, and therefore it's still susceptible to tumah. And this is the Mishnah today.